तपोगतामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमंगलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भुरिदा जनाः. द नेक्टर ऑफ द वर्ड्स इज द लाइफ फॉर दोज हु आर स्कॉर्च्ड बाय द वर्ल्ड. The words which have been uttered by knowledge of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible, those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Talks with Swami Vivekananda. When we read this book, we feel this tremendous energy, awakening of energy. Because there is tremendous power behind the words of Swami Vivekananda. Those words came from his experience, from his sadhana, and by the grace of his guru. I cannot tell you that how this book inspires. When you are depressed, down, read few pages, of course, I do not like the translation, but when I read the original, I feel rejuvenated. Yesterday, well, in our last class, we talked about Lokavattu Lila Kaivalyam. It is an aphorism of the Brahma Sutra. Problem of creation, you see, all problem is from creation. So what is this creation? And who created? The person who created this messy world, he should be responsible. That is the thing. So we say God created this world. Why did he create such messy world? Suffering, pain, misery, death, die. Why? What for? It would be better if you would not create anything. Just think of that. No creation, no human being, no universe, nothing of the sort. Zero. Shunyam. I shall read to you Lokavattu Lila Kaivalyam from Brahma Sutra. Brahman's creation has no motive beyond just expected sportive impulse. What's that word? Sportive impulse. I just play. Our cardinals play. Some days they win, some days they lose. This is the game, play. In human life, we are continuously playing on the stage. When we play well, we are happy. When we do not play, we are unhappy. And some people blame the stage. Hey, I could dance very well, but the stage is not good. Those are weak people. They always blame the stage. Look what he says. Granting that Brahman possesses all powers for creation, a further objection is raised against his being the cause. Nobody engages himself in anything without motive or purpose. Does God have any motive? Does Brahman have any other motive? If he has motive, then he is not God. Well, because he has desire. God should not have any desire. If he has desire, that means he has ignorance. I was just saying that is the way these people argue. We have desires, that means we have ignorance. If God has desire, then God has also ignorance. So God is not a very perfect person. So why did he create this world? Motive. Everything is undertaken by people to satisfy some desire. But Brahman is self-sufficient. Therefore, it has nothing to gain by the creation. Hence, we cannot expect it to engage itself in such a useless creation. Therefore, Brahman cannot be the cause of the world. This is the argument. Now, answer. Lokavattu lila kaivalyam. But Brahman's creative activity is mere pastime, as is seen in the world. Even as kings without any motive behind are seen to engage in acts for mere pastime, is playing dice, playing games, swimming, all kinds of things the kings do, or playing golf. Or even as mere men breathe without a purpose. You breathe. What is the purpose? It is automatic. In Munjuk Upanishad, there is a mantra. Shalomani. Yata urna nabe shri jate girna teja. Yata pridibya moshadayo sambhavanti. Yata purushat kesha lomani tata sambhaveti yavisham. Urna nabi means a spider. The spider creates a cobweb out of its own body. Not from external objects. From its own saliva, all those things, he makes a cobweb so that it can catch some lizard or some kind of fly so that it can eat. Cobweb. From its own body. Not from outside. Yata shatav prithibhyam oshadayo sambhavanti. From this earth, corn, rice, vegetables spontaneously grow without any effort. They grow. Yata shatav purushat keshan. Do you make any effort to grow your hair or nail? No. Automatically it comes. You know, I think of that 4,000 years ago, this analogy was given, that how spontaneously, without effortlessly, this whole creation comes from that cosmic consciousness. Tata sambhavati ha vishvam. This world has been created that way. Look what he says. Pastime. For it is their very nature, or even as children play, out of mere fun. So also Brahman, without any purpose, engages itself in creating this world of diversity. This answers the objection raised in the previous sutra against Brahman being the cause of the world. Just play. Remember the story of the Aesop Fables? The boys are throwing stones on the frogs. And one of the old frogs says, "Hey, why are you throwing stones? We are dying." "Oh, no, no, we are playing. What is play to you is death for us." That frog replied, "What is play for you is death for us. So what is God's play is death for us. We are suffering. What kind of God is this? Hopeless." That we say. Moreover, the opponent says, "We shall blame your God. Vaishamya nirghanyena sapekshatva tatai darshayati." That is Brahma Sutra. Partiality and cruelty cannot be attributed to Brahman on account of its taking into consideration other reasons in that matter, because the scripture declares it to be so. "You are rich, you are beautiful. I am ugly, I am poor." Why? God is partial. It is partiality. We are all children of God. Why didn't God create this variety? Jesse? Some are created poor, some rich. Hence, the Lord is partial to some. He is cruel, inasmuch as Sutra replies that the Lord cannot be accused of partiality and cruelty, because He dispenses according to the merit and demerit of the individual soul. The scripture declares to that effect, a man becomes good by good work, bad by bad work. But this does not contradict the independence of the Lord, even as the king's status is compromised by his giving presents to his servants according to their action. Just as rain helps different seeds to sprout, each according to its nature, so God is the general efficient cause in bringing the latent tendencies of each individual to fruition. Hence, he is neither partial nor cruel. Do you know what he is talking about? You are a farmer, I am a farmer. You till the ground, you sow the seed. I did not do it. The sun fell on the ground, on your field, my field. Rain came on your field, my field. During the harvest, you got the crop, I got nothing. It is all karma. You got the result, I did not get the result. So do not blame God. So Vaishamya Nirgirna. Vaishamya means partiality. Nirgirna means cruel. God is cruel. These are the things we have discussed elaborately in the Brahma Sutras. That what Swamiji was talking about. You see, this world is just play. And if you do not want to play, do you know what you are supposed to do? You go to the Divine Mother and say, I don't want to play anymore. Mother, stop my play. I do not want to come, I do not want to go. I want liberation. That we are all looking for. Liberation, mukti. We do not want to play. That comes when you are disgusted with this world. Until you are disgusted, coming and going, recycle. That is the gospel truth. We have desires. That is the reason we come to this world. And we enjoy. And we suffer. When that last life comes, they have signals. That person becomes completely unattached to this world. And very intense life. Very focused. That person knows his exact goal. Anyhow, that is Jivan Mukta. Let us read. Disciple, sir, I can understand this. Sometimes we see a horrible sinner, by the grace of God, became a saint. Sometimes we see a very saintly person, went to the bottom pit, became a sinner. Why? That Mary Ann Landers used to say, as a saint has his future, and as a saint has his past, so a sinner has his future. You do not know that saint, some highly evolved soul, sometimes they fell. Do you know why? Ego. Never be proud in your life. Be humble. God, Mahamaya can trap you at any time. Well, I can't understand this, Swamiji. And you needn't. Only get your mind to cling to him as far as you can, for then only the great magic of this world will break of itself. But then you must persevere. You must take off your mind from lust and gold. Must discriminate always between the real and the unreal. Must settle down into the mood of bodilessness with the brooding thought that you are not this body. And must always have the realization that you are the all-pervading Atman. This persevering practice is called Purushakara, self-exertion, as distinguished from grace. By such self-exertion will come true reliance of him, and that is the goal of human achievement. Purushakara, self-effort, grace, kripa. I remember a girl used to come here, took initiation, but she was a very difficult background, divorced. I asked her that, you know, she doesn't have much education, why don't you go to a nursing school? In this country, there is a lot of demand of nurses. At least you will get a job, you will be able to manage yourself. Oh, no, no, I got initiation from you. Sri Ramakrishna will look after me. Uncle, well, if you have that faith, I have nothing to say. You just go and lie down on your bed. Sri Ramakrishna will go to Snook's grocery shop, buy the groceries, cook and put food in your mouth, and just relax. You will not have to do anything. If you have that kind of self-surrender to God, God will do everything for you. That is true. 100% correct. But you do not have that kind of faith. Purushakara. Self-effort. You know, each person, you are what you are, what your faith is. Yo yasraddha saivasa. That Krishna says in the Gita, a person is what his faith is, belief, his conviction. That person perfect. This Swamiji is talking about. You know, the magic he says, tremendous self-effort. What do you do? When we drive from Kansas City to St. Louis, we will give you a start to your car, then you press the gas. The moment the wheels started to move fast, then you put cruise control, you just hold it. 70 miles speed. You do not use your foot at all on the gas. Just hold on. Similarly, in the very beginning, you will have to turn on the machine. You will have to press it. When these wheels start to move rapidly, then you relax. That is called Purushaka. Then comes grace. All cars nowadays are cruise control. Just that is the grace of the Ford company or whatever company you have. Just hold on the car. Hold the steering. That is the grace of those inventor of the motor cars that he was talking about. Self-effort. Swamiji was telling his disciple, just focus your mind on God as much as you can. Then Bhelki Bhaji, why? Swamiji is talking about, stick to it. Withdraw your mind from the lust and gold, discriminate between the real and unreal, forget your body idea, and try to meditate that I am that all-pervading Atman. This is the way you practice. That is called Purushakar, self-effort. Then you will achieve your your goal. Do you know what he was talking about? He raised a question. Is grace conditional or unconditional? That was the question of the disciple. Swamiji said both. How can it be both? Swamiji said, in this life, perhaps you are getting a lot of grace from God. It must be something from your previous life, your karma, that is bringing all the grace in your life. Previous life's karma, bringing grace. But sometimes God's grace comes spontaneously. I sometimes give an example. Your son wants to buy a car. He is in school. He is working a little bit from here and there, perhaps in a fast food place or throwing newspaper. He is making some money. He wants to buy a car. And he is saving that money to his mother. And his school is over. He is going to college. He wants to buy a car. Then the mother was telling the husband, you know, our son is so good. He wants to have a college education. And we cannot afford. He is going to take a loan. And he needs a car. This college is so far away. And he saved perhaps $10,000. Why don't you give another $8,000 so that my son have a car? So the father gives another $10,000 to his son. That is called grace. First $10,000 came from his self-effort, and another $10,000 came from the grace of the father. That is the way I think about. If we do something, help will come. That Sri Ramakrishna was telling to him. One day he saw that he was crying for God in Dakshineshwar. That Sri Ramakrishna came and said, "Ektu kichu korle kiu ise bole debe ei ei koro." If you do a little bit in your spiritual life, then someone will come, do this next, do this next, do this next. All help will come. But if you do not make effort at all, bas, you will be the same person, no change. If you want to change, you will have to make an effort. Some years ago, I heard a lecture, a black minister in Robert Shimmer, that way, what is called that in Orange County, that glass, that big castle, big chapel, big temple, church, Robert Schuller, yes. What happened? The minister was telling, you people see the movies. Do you know how much waste of money for that movie? You wrote the movie script and gave to the director. Director starts to shoot the various scenes of that movie in different places. After shooting, he found, no, it just does not go. cut. He will ask the script writer, rewrite or change. In this way, several times they have to change. If you do not change, movie will not come out. But each movie changed for a $40-50 million wished, bringing all this crew, actors, actresses, rent, all these things. Oof, how much money they spent to make a movie in Hollywood. Change is necessary. So in your life, if you really want to improve, you must change. And if you do not change, you will be the same person, that's all. Help will come. Swamiji was inspiring him. After a pause, about self-effort and grace, Sri Ramakrishna told a beautiful parable. A bird sat on the mast of a ship. The ship left the harbor, went into the deep sea. Now the bird wants to come back to the shore. It flew to the east, didn't find the shore. Wings are tired. The bird came back to the ship. Thus it flew to the west, south, north. All four directions it flew and flew and flew. Could not find the shore. At last came back to the ship and decided, by the grace of the ship I shall have to cross the ocean. There is no other way. But you made an effort. You flew. But your wings are tired. Swami Turiyananda used to say, you know, meditation, japam, all those things we do for what? Just to make the wings tired. They do not work. Finally, the grace comes. We realize God by the grace of God, not by self-effort. But self-effort is necessary, otherwise grace will not come. I give that illustration quite often. If you cut a cloth, how do? You take a scissors and both blades together cut the cloth. One blade is self-effort, another blade is the grace. That is the way we cut the cloth. That is the way it works. You will have to move. There is no other way. After a pause, Swamiji resumed. Had you not been receiving His grace, why else would you come here at all? Sri Ramakrishna used to say, those who have had the grace of God cannot but come here. Wherever they might be, whatever they might be doing, they are sure to be affected by words or sentiments uttered from here. With this egoism perfectly merged in the consciousness of the mother, the use of the word here by Sri Ramakrishna would often stand for the ordinary reference to self. But here is evidently meant the center or the mother self-revelation. Anyhow, here means Sri Ramakrishna. What he is talking about, do you know what Abhudhuta Gita says? Ishwar, the first mantra, Ishwaro Nugrat Bhungsham Advaita Vasana. It is the grace of the God a person has an inclination to realize that non-dual Brahman. It is God's grace. It is the Sri Ramakrishna's grace that He attracted all of you here. It is grace. Do you know how it attracts? Here is a pin full of mud, and here is a powerful magnet. It cannot attract. The moment the pin is a little washed, that iron pin, it goes to the magnet. So those who have some purity of the mind, they are attracted by God. You cannot help it. It is automatically you are attracted. Otherwise, why will you come here? Sometimes I give an illustration. If you take a fish from the water and put on the ground, what will it do? It flops and flounders and dies. That fish will die. Definitely. You put the fish back to the water, it will alive. Because water is its home. So those who are spiritual people, they cannot stand worldly atmosphere, worldly environment. They feel very uncomfortable. If you find extremely worldly, sensual, bad person, you will be terribly uncomfortable. Whereas when you come to the spiritual people, you feel, hey, they are my relatives. At least I do not know you, you do not know me at all. But you feel that we are all relatives, we are connected. It comes from that spiritual connection that you are talking about. If Sri Ramakrishna is attracting us. Just take your own case. Do you think it is possible without the grace of God to have the blessed company of Nag Mahashaya? A man who rose to spiritual perfection through the strength of divine grace and came to know the strength and came to know fully what this grace really means. He was talking about Saint Durgacharan Nag. I wrote about his life in They Lived with God in that book. My goodness, he surpassed, though he is a householder, married, he surpassed even God, even monks. His renunciation and purity are palpable. I remember my brother brought Nag Mahashaya's life in our home. I was young, I was in school or college. I was so impressed, I cannot tell you. Later on, when I became a monk, I wrote an article comparing Nag Mahashaya's life with St. Francis of Assisi. I was a brahmachari in training center. Oof, what a life. So this Sharatchandra Chakraborty, Swamiji's disciple, was very close to that Nag Mahashaya saint, and he wrote Nag Mahashaya's biography. In 1993, I went to Nag Mahashaya's home. It is 12 miles from Dhaka, Narayanganj. Big ashram, beautiful ashram. Aneko janma sangsiddhim tato jati param gantim. Swamiji quoted from the Gita. Prajatna jatamanastu yogi sangshuddha kilvisha. In previous life, we made some efforts, but we could not succeed. Those efforts will not go in vain. Based on this effort, this life, those efforts removed a lot of impurities from our mind. Now in this life, we have a little pure mind. With that pure mind, we made a new effort. With tremendous speed, enthusiasm, passion. Tato yati param gotim, Swamiji says. If all the previous life samskaras are inside us, and that brings a tremendous speech and brings perfection, and then we attain liberation. It is all accumulated virtues, good samskaras, impressions, they help us to realize God. One attains the highest stage after being perfected by the practice of repeated births. Gita, chapter 6, verse 45. Read that verse. It is only by virtue of great religious merit acquired through many births that one comes across a great soul like him. All the characteristics of the highest type of bhakti spoken of in the scriptures have manifested themselves in Nagmahashaya. You know, the holy company is very precious. When I was in college, in a school, I used to go to Vivekananda study circle. A professor named Binoy Kumar Sengupta was teaching history. He is a professor of history, bachelor, Swami Sivananda's disciple. And every Saturday, he used to give a class on Swami Vivekananda in his small room. So with several students, we used to go there and listen. And every Sunday, he used to give a talk on the Gospel of Ramakrishna. And I used to go with him. One Sunday in Dakshineshwar, one Sunday in Jabuchi's house, one Sunday in there. And I used to listen. How beautifully he used to explain the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. That professor was my brother's, elder brother's professor, and he introduced me to him. So I was very impressed. So I got very many holy company from the very beginning of my monastic life or my student life. So he was telling that you were very fortunate that you got such a wonderful holy company of Nagmahashaya. He was a saint. Swamiji further says, it is only in him that we actually see fulfilled the widely quoted text, Tinadopi Sunichi Natarupi Soishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Be humbler than a blade of grass. Be patient like a tree. Take no honor to thyself. Give honor to all. Chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. It is a teaching of Chaitanya. Trinadobi, he is so humble. Humility. Unparalleled. If you read his life, you know what humility is. Girish Chandra Ghosh major remark, Mahamaya is in deep trouble. She is trying to bind Nagmahashaya and she has a rope. And that she tries to bind the rope, but he becomes so small, he passed through the rope. So Nagmahashaya cannot tie him. He's so humble. He passes through the very little, he will go, his ego, he becomes so little. It passes through the nets of the Mahamaya. Mahamaya cannot bind him. And Mahamaya again is in trouble to bind Vivekananda. She has a rope. The more she puts the rope on Arun Swamiji, he expands himself. So his rope becomes short. He cannot bind Vivekananda either. One is the embodiment of humility, another is the embodiment of that vastness that I am Brahman. Brahman cannot be bound by Maya. That's a beautiful analogy. Blessed indeed is your East Bengal to have been hallowed by the touch of Nagmahashaya's feet. Very good. While speaking thus, Swamiji rose to pay a visit to the great poet Babu Girish Chandra Ghosh. Swami Yogananda and the disciple followed him. Reaching Girish Babu's place, Swamiji seated himself and said, "You see, G.C., the impulse is constantly coming nowadays to my mind to do this and to do that." When he started Ramakrishna Mission, he will have to understand. "To scatter broadcast on earth the message of Sri Ramakrishna and so on. But I pause again to reflect, lest all this give rise to another sect in India. So I have to work with a good deal of caution. Sometimes I think, what if a sect does grow up? But then again, the thought comes, no, Sri Ramakrishna never disturbed anybody's own spiritual view, idea, outlook. I do not like. He always looked at the inner same-sightedness. Often do I restrain myself with this thought. Now what do you say? Swamiji was in Balaram's house. It is in Bagh Bazar, northern Calcutta. And Balaram's house, the gracious house, just only 1 or 2 minutes. They just cross the road. Girish Ghosh, very famous devotee, actor, dramatist, a bohemian devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. He had 125% faith. He declared Sri Ramakrishna was an avatar. Now, Swamiji sometimes used to go and chat with him, but he was 20 years older. Girish was born in 1844 and Swamiji was born in 1863, 19 years younger. But he used to go. Swamiji was. And people would respect him. You see, it is not the age. Do you know what Nivedita used to see? Yeah? Swamiji wanted to say, Nivedita, sometimes I feel I am 300 years old. He's ancient. Not through the age, not counting the days. He's telling, you know, I started mountain mission. I think it is all from my mind. It is all my whims. I don't know whether I am going right direction or not. He is trying to verify from Girish, who is the embodiment of faith. I was thinking, perhaps I am trying to create another Ramakrishna sect, Chaitanya sect, Vaishnava sect, Shakta sect, another sect. India is full of sects. But I am very cautious. I shall not build any sect. Do you know what sect means? I shall force you to join myself. Sri Ramakrishna never did that. Sri Ramakrishna gave freedom to each and all. You grow in your own way. I always say religion cannot be forced, as love cannot be forced. Somebody can put a pistol on you, love me. It does not work. If it does not come spontaneously from the heart, it will not work. Love does not come that way. Sometimes I think a sect does not grow. Sri Ramakrishna never disturbed anybody's own spiritual idea, outlook, faith, attitude. He always saw self-sameness in all. Girish, what more can I say to this? You are the instrument in his hand. You have to do just what he would make you do. I don't trouble myself over the detail, but I see that the power of the Lord is getting things done through you. I see it clear as daylight. Sometimes you inquire, which I am doing or God is doing through me. I am doing means when success comes, I am proud, I did it. Sometimes I give this illustration. Here is a fruit. If inside a lot of stuff, you cannot, no sound will come. You cannot make any sound, though you have a very expensive flute. But inside, some stuff there, no. The inside should be hollow. Then different ragas and raginis sounds will come. That is the way it works. So hollow means egoless. If you are completely egoless, God will definitely make you his instrument and will work through you. That he is talking about. Egoless. Which is God is working through me. You know when it happens, you can feel it. I'm not doing, somebody is doing all these things through me. But I think we do things according to our own will. Yet that in misfortunes and adversities, in times of want and poverty, he reveals himself to us and guides us along the true path. This I have been able to realize. But alas, I still fail to comprehend in any way the greatness of his power. Swamiji was talking about his life. Do you know what? Four or five years I traveled in India. Sometimes no food. I slept under the tree, poverty, disease, sickness. But I always felt that God is protecting me, guiding me. Again, when I came to America, I lived in luxury and all these things came comfort to me. Still I felt, yes, God is working through me. At that time, the poverty, here is affluence. In both cases, my mind remained even. That means he was a Nora Brahman. Happiness, misery, praise and blame, nothing can affect him. That he is talking about. I feel that Master is working through me. A March mission, I started all the activities, all these things. It is God's, it is his will. It is not my will. Girijabha, yes, he said, if you understand it to the full, everything will be at once vanish. Who will work then? Or who will be made to work? Because Sri Ramakrishna cautioned his disciples, never say anything about his true nature. If he knows who he is, he'll immediately give up this body and leave this world. For the reason, Mohamaya gave some desires in his mind so that he can work with those desires. I shall do good to humanity. That is the only desire he had. No personal motive, no self-interest, only welfare of humanity. For the reason he started Ramakrishna Mata Mission. That Girish was telling, that the moment you know who you are, we know what will happen. You will give up this work and you will leave. Manmatharnath Chattopadhyay came to interview Swamiji. I said, Swamiji, you started Ramakrishna Mortgage Mission. These are also Maya. Swamiji says, of course. This is all Maya. And I am now playing with this Maya. The moment I shall feel that my work is over, I shall give up. If you want, join with my play. I am just playing with Maya. I have zero desire, self-interest, motive. No desire for name, fame, power, position, nothing. I just want to do good to humanity. You see, that is the difference between ordinary Jnani and Swamiji. Ordinary Jnani is selfish. He wants his own liberation, living in the cave. Thus, Swamiji, sacrifice himself. গ্রীষ্মে সব বুঝলে, এখনই সব ফাঁকা হয়ে যাবে, কি করবে, কারাই বা করবে, করাই বা করাবে। ইফ ইউ নো ইউর রিয়েল ট্রু নেচার, এভরিথিং ইউ উইল গিভ আপ, ইউ উইল এভরিথিং উইল বি এমটি। দিস টাইপ অফ কনভারসেশন ওয়াজ কন্টিনিউইং। দেন the disciple wrote that who heard from Girish later, Girish said to, is not on this, on that particular day, Thakure Srimukhe, this is not translated into English, Thakure Srimukhe shuniyachi oirup kotha beshi koite koite Swamiji sansar bairagya o ishwar uddipana hoye jodi ekbare sarosharupe darshan hoy tini je ki ekotha jante paren tobe ar ek muhurto তার দেহ থাকবে না। গিরিশ সে দ্যাট আই হ্যাড হার্ড ফ্রম শ্রীরামকৃষ্ণ দ্যাট ইফ টকিং লাইক দিস ফর এ লং টাইম ইফ ই গেট দ্যাট ট্রিমেঞ্জাস রিনাউন্সিয়েশন অ্যান্ড অ্যাওয়েকেনিং অফ গড কনশিয়াসনেস অ্যান্ড ইফ হি হ্যাজ এক্সপিরিয়েন্স হিজ ওন ট্রু নেচার দ্যাট আই এম দি আত্মান দ্যাট ভেরি মোমেন্ট হি উইল গিভ আপ হিজ বডি। That happened the day somebody asked, do you know who you are? Yes. And that day he died. July 4, 1902. So for the reason, when this kind of topic comes, you know, Ramakrishna and all the thing, they used to divert his mind. Hey, you know, Swamiji, what next? What are you going to do next? What is your next project? What is your next project? In this way, they're diverting his mind toward the world so that it may not go toward God. When, toward the end, they found that he's meditating for long hours, they realized that he's going to give up his body. So what Brahmananda did, bought a lot of pets for him, a dog, a goat, various kinds of animals bought in his for him, and he used to play with them, just to bring his mind down to the worldly plane. Otherwise, he will give up. He will leave. সন্ন্যাসী গ্রীবন্ধন 24 ঘন্টা ঠাকুরের কথাবার্তা এই ধরনের স্বামী প্রসঙ্গ, মানে হুইন দিস টাইম দে ইউজ টু ডাইভার্ট ইজ মাইন্ড টু টক অ্যাবাউট। আচ্ছা স্বামীজি, লাইক উই লাইক টু নো অ্যাবাউট আমেরিকা, টেল আস অ্যাবাউট আমেরিকান কাস্টম কালচার অ্যাবাউট দেয়ার মেন উইমেন দেয়ার ইন দিস ওয়ে দে ডাইভার্ট দেয়ার মাইন্ড। আমেরিকা যা হোক, আমেরিকা প্রসঙ্গ করতে স্বামীজি তাহাতেই মাতিয়ে গেলেন। আফটার দিস টক ড্রিফটেড অন টু আমেরিকা, and Swamiji grew warm on this subject and went on describing the wonderful wealth of the country, the virtues and defects of men and women there, their luxury and so on. He diverted their mind. He was talking about Ramakrishna, you know. Hey, Swamiji, what happened to America? Tell us some stories. Just to bring his mind to the worldly plane. Oh, yeah, just the reverse. Our minds do not go upward, and their minds do not want to come downwards. That is the difference between Sri Ramakrishna Swamiji and us. Anyhow, up to this tonight. Very interesting.